morning, Good Shepherd. I am Talbot Davis, and I'm the pastor here. Whether you are at Moss Road or Zor Road Live, or whether you're live streaming from literally all over this land and other lands as well, as we have people tune in from Russia and from India and so many of the states in these here United States. So glad that you have connected with us. And we are in the last Sunday of this series called Honest to God. And it's really been a series that we've tried to resource you so that you could grow in your living relationship with Jesus Christ by growing in your honesty with Him. And started a couple weeks ago, and we were honest at God, and what do you do when you're frustrated with God and angry at God, and we learn that you're venting. That doesn't mean He's leaving. You're free to vent to God. Last week, we were honest for God, and so many of you learned so much about what the persecuted church around the world is going through, and all week, we were praying for our pastors whom we support in India, and then today, as we wind this series up, it's called Honest with God, and if you have your Bible with you, I want to invite you to locate in your Bible Psalm number 5. And you can just keep a finger there. We're actually going to be looking at a couple of different scriptures today. One of the things that if you've not been here before, or you were here but you forgot, one of the things that we talk a lot about at Good Shepherd is that this thing that looks like a book, this is not a book. It's a library. It's a collection of a lot of books written by a lot of authors over a long span of time, and get this, in many writing styles. And so today in the scripture we're looking at, it's a little bit of a library tour. We're going to be in the songbook section of the library, and then the biography section of the library, and then the correspondence section of the library, meaning we're going to be in Psalms and Mark and 1 Thessalonians. But don't worry, if you're not, how am I going to flip all those pages all that way? It'll all be up on the screen for you. And the reason we found it really vital, not only to let you know not book is library, but to let you have your own eyeball encounter with the scripture today or any Sunday that we have gathered together, is it because in leadership here, and you may not believe this yet, or you may be like, yeah, I do believe it, thank you for saying it, and wherever you are on that, we like to be honest, not only honest to God, but we like to be honest with the kind of church that we are. In leadership here, we believe there's no other library like this, that God breathed His life onto its pages. He put His truth into the authors. And so the Bible really is inspired and eternal and true. And because we in leadership believe that regarding Scripture, when we talk about the Bible in this place on a Sunday morning, live or live streaming, we do kind of a different thing. We lift, some of you already beat me to the punch, we lift the Bible up. And if you've never tuned in before, or you've never been here before, and you're looking around, and there's phones in the air, and Bibles in the air, and hands in the air, and you're like, what's going on here? That's just kind of strange. And you know how we answer that? Yes, we admit it. But we have discovered that this is a moment of oddity that shapes our identity as a community. We're a collection of people joyfully surrendered to the authority of the Word and eager for its power to be let loose in our lives. Amen? Before I say another word, let's pray. So, Father, thank You for the goodness of Your Word, and thank You that so many Sundays, You give me this just remarkable privilege of standing and breaking Your Word apart and breaking it down so that we can lift it up, understanding it so that we can celebrate it. And I pray now, God, that the same Holy Spirit and all of His goodness and all of His joy, that He would fill me from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head with a fresh anointing, a fresh pouring out of the Holy Spirit today. Because, Lord, apart from You, I am utterly powerless. But because of You, I'm never helpless. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Amen over there. And in just a few minutes, Good Shepherd, I'm going to tell you all about something that has quite literally transformed the trajectory of my life over the last 18 months or so. And I'm really hoping that I'm not over-promising and under-delivering when I tell you that this thing that I'm going to tell you, now, I'm not going to tell you right now because then you could leave, but this thing that I'm going to tell you in a few minutes, it really has shown this remarkable ability to make it so that, like, in 30 years of being a preacher, I kind of feel more connected to God, better connected to God than at any other time. It's why I've been able to make it through COVID relatively unscathed, at least emotionally, and it's why I feel better in tune with those things in ministry that I do well, and maybe less bothered by the things that I don't do well. And that's a long list of things that I don't do well. Can I hear an amen for that? Long list there. And I just really believe that this thing that I'm going to tell you in a few minutes has really, really had this altering trajectory in my life. I think that not only did it do this thing for me, but the reason I'm so glad to be here today and the reason I've been looking forward to this series for so long is because I believe that it can do the same for you and in you. I really do think that this thing that I'm going to tell you, man, it has the potential to strengthen the faith of people who believe. And it has the ability to kind of wake up the faith of the people who used to believe and now sort of don't care. And it maybe even has the ability to turn on the faith of people who've decided, yeah, I don't really believe at all. And beyond that, I think that for some of you, it might even have this potential, this ability to stir up in some of you who didn't even know it, that, yeah, you have a calling to be a pastor, to be a missionary, to serve domestically, to serve globally, or all of the above. So the stakes are kind of high, right? And you're like, man, if you're making all these promises about this thing that you're telling us about, you better come through, Talbot. Because this whole series, Honest to God, it's been about prayer, hasn't it? We've been through this incredible season in our life. We've been through the COVID. We've been through unrest. We've been through this divisive election. And we had this series, The Three Don'ts of Election 2020. Some of you remember that right around the election time. And then we were like, well, how do you follow up on that? People need to pray. And so we've really wanted to devote some weeks in our collective lives together to resourcing you to pray, to showing you some new things about prayer, because when it comes to prayer, I have found that a whole lot of people approach the whole subject of prayer. How do I pray? And how do I have any kind of awareness that God is answering my prayers? I get the sense that a lot of people approach prayer with a lack of confidence. A lack of confidence that they sort of know how to do it, a lack of confidence that they're tapping into God's willingness to answer it. I mean, this is true of novices in the faith. Lord, teach us how to pray. It's true of veterans in the faith. Man, I've been following Jesus forever, but I still don't know how to pray. And then I know that some of you who've gathered or some of you who are live streaming today, you don't believe yet. And that's okay. I'm really glad that you're here. I'm really glad that you're tuning in. And even though you don't believe and so you don't pray, maybe, unless maybe life gets really hard and then you throw up an emergency prayer or two, nevertheless, you know there are people out there who do pray. And it seems like they are able of handling difficulties in life maybe better than most. And they seem to have, I don't know, more serenity in their lives. And so even if you don't really believe yet, you do wish that serenity prayer, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. You're not sure you believe or you don't believe, but you sure wish that serenity described your life. But then for those of you who do believe, you're kind of settled where you stand with Jesus. The whole thing about praying is that it is just so awkward? I mean, think about it. You're talking to someone who is invisible. And that someone to whom you're speaking who is invisible, he is supposedly juggling like a billion simultaneous conversations at once. And the fact that he's having to juggle so many simultaneous conversations with so many people praying to him at once, maybe that explains the kind of startling lack of answers that you get to your prayers. And so you have that kind of frustration with the lack of answers, and it feels kind of awkward. And even though you're pretty sure you trust in Jesus, your prayers have fallen to the point that the best you got is that prayer at mealtime. You know, the Lord, where you lead me, I will follow. And what you feed me, I will swallow. And that's as good as it gets. That's as good as it gets for you. Yeah, this prayer, being honest to God, is just kind of awkward. And every once in a while, in this desire to have some confidence in our prayers, every once in a while, it's like it breaks through. And you feel like, oh, okay, at least for now, I've got the secret sauce of how I should pray. I've tapped into God's willingness to answer my prayers, man. And back in the early 2000s, just when we started healing services, which pre-COVID we did here, first Monday of every month, and one of those early healing services we had, a guy in our church literally hobbled into church because his back was in such incredible pain. He couldn't stand up straight and he could barely walk. And after we prayed for him, he was out in our parking lot running laps at night in the cold in December, fully healed. And you have an experience like that, and of course, we were like, we got this thing down. We have this confidence in prayer. We felt that night. Or even that time years and years ago when on a Saturday night before preaching on a Sunday morning, I was praying over a message and I heard so, I've told some of you this before, I heard so clearly, like out of the blue, don't ever preach without praying like this. And I haven't. I prayed that way last night. And so you have those seasons where you feel like you're connecting, where you're living into that confidence. But you know this, I know this, you've lived this, I've lived this. Sometimes those seasons are so fleeting that they're a memory and they're replaced by more seasons and more timelines where your prayers feel kind of dry and feel kind of dead and the answers coming back feel kind of absent or kind of silent. Am I speaking to anyone today? And this is why. This is why on this journey, this desire for some kind of confidence when it comes to how we pray, a little less awkwardness and a little more familiarity, a little more comfort with it. It's why I do love these words from Psalm 5. And it starts at verse 3. And as you may or may not know, either way is okay. Psalms, this is Old Testament world. This is about 3,000 years ago, 1,000 years before Jesus came on earth. And these are written prayers, written songs. And look at what David, yeah, that David, the one with Goliath and the one with Bathsheba, that David. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. And so there's that pattern he seems to be establishing. And look what happens in his life when he starts the day that way in verse 3. Look how the day ends in verses 11 and 12 of the same psalm. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. So he kind of establishes this routine that you start the day out that way, and the day ends up in this kind of rejoicing and confidence and serenity. And then Mark, one of Jesus's biographers, gives us the window into Jesus' own pattern. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, and look what it says. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and he left the house and he went off to a solitary place, where he prayed. And when Luke gives us that same information, he adds this priceless phrase, as was his custom. And then Paul, in the correspondence section of the Bible, writing about Jesus to the church in ancient city of Thessalonica. And look what he says. I love this marvelous verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. He says this, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, whatever that means, pray without ceasing, it does not mean quit your job so you can pray all day long, 24/7, all the time. Because the same Paul who says pray without ceasing, he also says, if a man does not work, he shall not eat. So he's not telling you to quit your job and stop working so you can pray all the time. But what he is saying is something so much more marvelous than that, so much more realistic than that. It's this concept of praying without ceasing, meaning that you will be a person of prayer even when the feelings aren't there, even when the answers don't come, even when you don't feel like spending any time doing it. And so I put all these scriptures kind of on top of one another. You got the psalm, in the morning I pray. You got Jesus who gets up when it's still dark and he goes to pray as was his custom. And you get Paul, pray without ceasing. And here's what I want you to know. Here's this thing that I've been so eager to tell you about. It's this: to get too confident, you have to go through consistent. Yeah, to get to that place where pray, you have confidence, not only that you got the secret sauce of how you pray, but you've tapped into God's willingness to answer. You have to go through the journey of consistency. You only get to the miracles that come from prayer when you're still praying in the mundane activities of life. You got to till the soil of routine. Till the soil of praying as this spiritual habit. Till the soil of praying consistently, even when you don't know how, even when the answer seems so far away, to get to that place where you will feel confident, you got to go through consistent. And you remember how I told you this idea, this truth had really altered the trajectory of my own life? And I say that because a couple years ago, maybe, my own prayer life was dead. Can we agree that if you're a preacher and you don't pray very much, this is a bad thing? Can I hear an amen for that? Now, I would pray on Sunday mornings. And I'd pray an anointing on my message, and I'd pray on Saturday night because God told me a long time ago, don't ever preach without praying like that. And I would pray urgent prayers along the way. And some of you may know the New Testament talks about this gift of praying in tongues and spirit-to-spirit communication. And that was part of my prayer journey as well. However, in terms of that daily, nourishing lifeblood of consistent daily prayer to God as a way of establishing routines, as a way of keeping connect, that was done, gone, that was out of the way. This is a problem if you are a pastor and prayer is only occasional. Some of you, I can see it on your mask, even through your mask. Some of you are looking like, well, why did I keep coming to this church? I don't know. You just did. But then two things happened, kind of one right after another, involving even some advice that I didn't ask for, but I sure am glad I got. One of them is that I stumbled on this idea of starting the day in the Word rather than in the world. And along those lines, to start the day in the Word rather than in the world, I stopped taking the newspaper. No, I know. It's like 15 years after everybody else in the world stopped taking the newspaper, but I'm slow to catch on. But once I decided to stop taking the newspaper, and the first thing in my day stopped being my little trip down the driveway to pick up the Charlotte Observer and how it's getting thinner and thinner and thinner by the day, it seems, and bringing it back and opening it up as if my day couldn't begin until I knew what happened in Charlotte overnight. And once I stop doing that every day, and instead the first thing that I do is open up Scripture to start it in the Word rather than in the world. And you know what I found out? The world didn't care. But the Lord was pleased. Because when I started the day in the world, that already put me in reactive mode. Oh my gosh, look what they did, look what they said, look what happened. And when you start your day and get this, for a lot of you, it may not be the literal newspaper at the end of the driveway, but it sure is that social media or that news feed on your device, and you start the day there, and you're already on the defensive. You're already in reactive mode. The world has you exactly where it wants you. It knows how to get your adrenaline going for good and for ill, mostly for ill. And so once I stopped starting the day in the world and started beginning the day in the Word, man, what a difference it made. And the second thing that I kind of fell into was someone suggested that I start writing down my prayers or my impressions from the Holy Spirit. And I was like, okay, might as well start writing. And then I got to the place where I was writing my prayers most days, and for a while I felt guilty. Wait, is this even praying if I'm writing my prayers? And then I remembered, oh yeah, the book of Psalms, which is what? It's 150 written prayers that did what? That made it into the Bible. And so I was like, okay, if it's good enough for getting to the Bible, it's probably good enough for me. And so I started writing my prayers day after day after day. And I find it personally much easier to vent my frustrations with God when I write them out, and find it easier to give my thanks to God when I write it out. And the cool thing is I have this living record, these little notebooks. I have this living record of what God has done in response to all these prayers over the last couple of years. So starting the day in the Word and not in the world and actually writing prayers, and all of a sudden, good news is your pastor is a Christian again. Can I hear an amen for that? And my confidence returned because my consistency had been established. To get too confident, you have to go through consistent. A couple months ago, I had a day ahead that I was dreading. You ever had one of those days that, oh Lord, I can't believe what's going to happen today? I had some meetings scheduled that I kind of wasn't looking forward to, and I had some meetings that weren't scheduled that I knew I needed to make happen. And all in all, I just didn't think it was going to be a very pleasant or productive day. But I did something kind of new. I looked at those meetings ahead, and I decided to pray that God would anoint the meetings. And I'm like, hey, every Sunday I pray that He will anoint my message from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. Send your Holy Spirit on this sermon. Well, if I can ask Him to do that for me on a Sunday message, why not for a Thursday meeting? And so I did. And at the end of that day, I was able to look back on the day and, oh my gosh, all those meetings that I dreaded ended up being so necessary and so productive. God actually did anoint those conversations so that good things happened in all of them. And get this, because I'd written them down, I had a written record. And I was able to go back at the end of that day and say, look, but God, I dreaded, but God. I bet almost all of you keep some kind of calendar. Some of you might still write it down in a calendar book. Some of you might use tablets to just carve it out for all I know. But others of you, more of you probably move to digital. And for some of you, that calendar is every day, and your days are sort of time-stamped and time-organized. And others of you, depending on the kind of work that you do, maybe it's more fluid than that. But all of you have some kind of calendar. And I just want to offer you this. Instead of looking through your calendar, pray through it. You catch that difference? I mean, anybody can look through your calendar before the day happens. I believe that real breakthrough happens when you pray through your calendar. Because to get too confident, you got to go through consistent. To get too breakthrough, you got to go through process. To get to miracle, you got to go through mundane. It's interesting in a village in India, and we have pastors in India, and it's where so much of our heart is. Our global heart really focuses on one state in India, but one village where the gospel has really good penetration. This is kind of the way that it works there, an entire village will become Christian. This is one of those villages, and there the different Christians there have prayer posts on the outskirts of the village, and it's surrounded by jungle and forest, and so the different believers will walk from the village to their little prayer place where they will have away from people and alone with the Father, and that's where they'll pray. And the thing is, because they have this little prayer place on the outskirts of the village, and they walk there, their walk makes a path. So they have a path to their own private prayer place. Well, the marvelous thing about that is that when you have other people with a living relationship with Jesus sharing life with you, they're able to notice if your path is overgrown or not. And they can say to the other Christians in the village, hey, brother, hey, sister, I noticed that your path is overgrown. You're not using it. Is everything okay? So I guess I gotta ask you, is what's the path like on the carpet in your house? Or the hardwoods in your apartment? Is it fresh as new because you lack confidence? Or do you have a path to that special place away from people and alone with your Father to get too confident? You gotta go through consistent. Because listen, my great prayer, and I know not everybody here is a morning person. Well, actually, if you're tuning in at 9 o'clock Eastern time, you're probably more of a morning person than the people who are coming at 11. Can I hear an amen for that? But so not everybody here is a morning person, yet there is something so foundational in starting that day with God. It has such a peaceful way of making sure that your day ends in serenity with God. But I'm not going to be legalistic about that. So I would rather you pray at night than not pray at all. But the thing is about starting in the morning, my great desire is that when you start this communication in the morning, it will lead to day-long conversation with God. That by communicating in the a.m., you're conversating all day long. Yeah, well, I want people talking to God all day. A good shepherd. And you're like, but that's weird. People will think I got voices in my head and I'm just talking to the air. They'll think I'm so strange. Hey, we're already this church. We're already the moment of oddity that shapes our identity as a community church. So being thought that you're a little bit odd or a little bit strange because you talk to God all day long, what a badge of honor that would be. To get too confident, you got to go through consistent. And so we've wanted to resource you all throughout this series. We've not just wanted to take you by the shoulders and say, pray more. We've wanted to give you the resources to help you do that, to show you how to do it. And that's why we have this prayer guide. We're going to put the website up on the screen. And you can, it is COVID safe and eco-friendly, and which means that you can download it. It is a prayer guide for specifically for this series. A couple of weeks ago, We give you a prompt every day. A couple weeks ago, we just gave you a lot of blank space in case you needed to vent your frustration with God. And then last week, we gave you the names and the locations of five different pastors from India so that you could be praying for them. And then this week, we want to give you those daily reminders. Hey, don't look at your calendar. Pray through your calendar. And we want to give you plenty of space. If you download that and print it out or work on it digitally, whatever your generation does with that electronic stuff, we just want to give you the space and the freedom to do that. And if you're like, but I don't know what to pray for. I don't know what to pray for. Hey, we want to make it as easy as possible. Just pray over that calendar. And when you think about Good Shepherd Church, this is a deeply personal request. Would you pray that the people of Good Shepherd fall so deeply in love with Jesus that this church becomes unstoppable because prayer is unquenchable here? Would you do that? Would you pray not only your calendar, but God, would you just make the people of Good Shepherd fall so deeply in love with Jesus to get too confident? You got to go through consistent. Because where does the strength come from to be consistent in the first place? Who is the one about whom it is said he is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Who is the one who is faithful in little, so the Father made him faithful in everything? Who is the one who could cry out on the cross, "It is finished," because he knew that he wasn't? Jesus, the only Jesus. So maybe the reason that your confidence in prayer has been so fleeting, that your pattern in prayer has been only to pray when you get in trouble or when you really need something, is because, get this, you never yet prayed the first prayer. The first prayer, that prayer that he always answers in the affirmative, on the spot, the first prayer, which is that prayer that says yes to Jesus. Maybe the reason prayer seems so disconnected is because you've yet to pray that initial prayer. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. So here's what I'm going to invite you to do now, is I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray that first prayer. And so I want to encourage all of you, if you would you bow your heads and would you close your eyes? And I'm going to pray a phrase, and I'm just going to invite you to pray that phrase after me out loud from your seat, or after me out loud from live stream. So would you just pray after me? Lord Jesus, you said yes to me so long ago, and I believe that you died for me on the cross, and I believe that you rose again on the third day. And so now I say yes to you. I give you my life. Fill me with all goodness and all joy. And I want to pray over all of you now. So, Lord, thank you for those people who just prayed that prayer. Some of them prayed it as a recommitment of their lives. And others prayed it for the very first time. Maybe a young child, or maybe someone who's been wandering for years and years. Thank you for that first prayer, the one you always answer, the one you always say yes to. And I pray, Lord, that you would fill each of those with your goodness and your hope and your love. In the strong and saving name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.